I have been here.
The Grey Goose, Adventures of a Modern Robin Hood.
Musing over my misdeeds, I find that recently I've been more on than off the moral code. True, I've expected a lot of filthy lucre from certain parties, but none of this came my way. Take, for instance, the case of the Purbyte factory. I got an oblique sort of mention in an ad Barbara read me out of the evening paper.
Here's what it says. The Deputy Treasurer, United Nations, accepts with grateful thanks the cheque for £50,000 donated by the late Edmund Purbright for the relief of distressed children of the United Nations. It came under cover of a rather famous name or pseudonym, the Grey Goose, and was accompanied by the usual feather token.
Is that all?
No. The columnist reporting this power adds this in brackets. Conscience money, no doubt.
Well, of all the confounded impertinence of the man. Lionel Boyd is the poison pen artist who writes that column.
I know that.
How, Sherlock?
He always signs his name.
And to think that snake in the grass was at school with me, and in my old regiment. By Jove.
Now what has struck the mighty brain?
Barbara, let me be serious a moment. Lionel Boyd, in those days, ran the regimental rag. And during my trouble, you know, court-martial and all that, he practically roasted me alive.
Nobody likes him very much.
No, he's too venomous. But he's terribly prosperous. This cutting is most opportune. It's reminded me that cheats should never prosper. But if they should, then somebody should put a stop to their good fortune.
I take it, then, that you are going to play nemesis in the case of Lionel Boyd.
True, O Queen. He lives in a set of extravagant and elegant bachelor chambers off Jermyn Street. Wouldst care to venture there, wench?
Certainly. But if he's as poisonous as his pen, I'd like a chaperone.
By all means, it shall be I myself. So let's away and spy out the land in the vicinity of Master Lionel Boyd.
Listen, Rowley. We can't pay him a call now. He's got a party on.
So much the better. We'll be lost in the crush and thus get round unobserved. Look, here. Quick fan of campaign. Take this card, the press card. Miss Ella Stiles, that's you, Fleet Street. Social gatherings, that's your lurk. Got it?
Right.
And off the bill.
Good afternoon. Whom may I have the pleasure of announcing?
My card. I gather Mr. Boyd's reception is well attended.
Unfailingly, Miss Stiles. And you, sir?
Mr. Gray, I'm just tagging along with Miss Stiles.
Mr. Boyd, this is Miss Stiles, and this is Mr. Gray.
Yes, you mustn't get us mixed, must you?
Yes, that is no, of course not, what?
From Fleet Street, Mr. Boyd.
Delighted indeed. Come to write up my modest little party, eh? Do make yourselves at home. You find Fleet Street well represented among my guests.
Thank you, Mr. Boyd. I'll go and have a word with some of your lady guests. Hats, you know. See you later.
Mr. Gray, have a cigarette.
No, thanks. Don't smoke.
Jolliffe, get Mr. Gray a drink, will you?
No, thanks. Don't drink sometimes. I'll just do a wander myself, if I may.
No, by all means. You'll probably meet some old friends. All sorts come to my little parties.
Little parties?
Oh, this is just a small one. Only about 100 here.
Where the devil do you hold the big ones? The Albert Hall?
You're quite a humorist, eh? Writer, I suppose. Somehow I feel I've met you before somewhere. Can't be very recently, though, because as a rule, I'm quite good at that sort of thing. Well, have a good time.
Yes, I'm sure I will. Thanks awfully for letting me crash your teeny-weeny little party. Uh-oh. Now I'm really for it. Here's that confounded gossip, Judith Cameron. Oh, crikey, she's bearing down on me. She knows I'm not Mr. Gray. Have to risk it now.
My darling, Rowley
Fletcher. Judith, as you love me, don't call me Fletcher here.
Oh?
I'm here incog. Don't want anyone to recognize me.
Oh, what shall I call you then?
Oh, just Gray will do.
Oh, what's on?
Justice, my dear. I'm going in for journalism.
You? You don't know a pen from a polo stick.
Shh, shh. And again, shh. I am starting a column.
No.
Yes. And I do know a polo stick when I see one. A pen, I mean.
What's the column?
Scandal. Reel off the equator stuff. Walter Winchell and this bloke Lionel Boyd will just get scorched out.
I can give you plenty.
Don't worry, I've got plenty. On you. You're the first victim.
Oh, isn't that thrilling? I'll just love it. Or would I? No. Now, I've had one dose of that sort of publicity.
Boyd?
Yes, the...
All right. All right. Now, escort me around and find me a nice, quiet spot where I don't have to meet anyone. And then you can start Spilly Goodart. Well, how did you get on, Barbara?
While I was supposed to be writing about hats, I managed to draw a complete plan of the flat.
Good girl. Just what we want.
As you noticed, it's on the top floor, the third. All the flats are built around a center court, which is covered in with glass.
Flat roofs?
Yes. I nicked up a little stair at the back. Leads to the roof.
Well, that sounds all right, too. Now, my report. One, to my horror, I ran into the camera woman. But as a matter of fact, she proved a bit of blessing in disguise.
How?
She told me a little of Lionel that hadn't occurred to me. And then something struck me as very odd.
Oh? What was that?
I gathered that she was terrified of him.
Terrified of that worm?
Have you never heard of that famous quotation? The pen is mightier than the sword?
You mean he knows something about her that if he publicized it could damage her?
Exactly.
But that's blackmail.
Yes. Yes, you could call it that. For information received, I won't pay you a fee. But I will refrain from immortalizing you in my column. How's that?
Oh, the low hound.
Yes. I think I'm right as far as Hughes Cameron's concerned, and it's given me ideas.
Are you certain he didn't recognize you?
Well, he did say he thought we'd met before.
Rowley.
But he can't place me yet. You see, I've grown some grey hairs, both in moustache and hair. He wouldn't recognize his company officer today, I'm certain, unless he got a jolly good hint.
What do you propose to do about it?
Not quite certain yet. But I'm going to give that hat of his a once-over this very night.
Shall I come?
Maybe. Yes, I think so. But we may have to make a break for it. So I think I'll wind the old piano wire around my waist in case of emergencies. Now, you get back to your flat. Dress, black jumper, black slacks, mask, grey moustache, grey wig. Right?
Check. The twins will start what time?
11 p.m. And I hope he's out.
Good heavens. The hall porter's still on duty.
Oh, confound him, yes. By Jove, Barbara, in these togs we are perfect doubles, aren't we?
How do we get past the hall porter's lodge?
Simple. We crawl on our tummies. Can't see us then. And he won't hear us on that thick carpet. Now you first, and when you reach the stairs, start going up. I'll be right behind you.
Right. Off I go.
Now me. Keep going. When we get to the top, go right, to the far end of the block. We'll wait and see if the coast is clear. Now, scram.
Good heavens, the lift's coming up.
Keep one in the shadow. I wonder which flat he and she or is going to. Gee, gods. Judith Cameron.
The woman who...
Going to see the handsome Lionel for certain. Confound her, that means he's in.
We'd better scram, then. The inspection's off.
Wait.
You in, Lionel? Lionel? Good. He's out. Forgotten he once gave me a key.
Mischief afoot, Barbara. Now, how can I get a glimpse of what goes on? Judith finds him out, but gets in with a key, apparently an old keepsake. Oh, sorry. She's glad, but why? Barbara, I'm going to get a peek in there somehow.
How?
The roof. Quick. Sure, there's a general stair, a passage stair.
Yes.
Then up, my friend, up we go.
You can't see through the flat roof.
No, of course not. Have you tried? Remember my piano wire.
Of course.
Now, hitch the swivel, yes, this'll do. Chimney stack. Now, let me unwind it from my waist. So.
All fixed this end. Got your gloves?
Now, over I go. I may be able to see into the window. You stay here, and if some curious citizen should chance upon the battlements, I mean the flat roof, cough like blazes. Now, stand by. Here I go. See you in jail. Good. The window's open. But I don't like so much light. Better let myself down a foot or two more. I look like a bubble dancer in a spotlight.
you're not here. Oh, heavens, my one chance of finding it. Oh, where does he hide his dirt? No secret drawers. There is it.
Poor old Judith. Bad luck. No go, I fear.
Oh, my heavens. Oh, I'll tear this place apart till I find it. Oh, what's the time? 11:30. I won't be back yet. Can't come back before I've got what I... Lionel!
Judith!
Lionel, I was only...
Only what? Tearing my belongings to pieces, eh? You fool, do you think I leave the sort of stuff you're looking for lying around for fools like you to find?
Oh, why do you have to hold this thing over my head like this? Give it to me, Lionel, please. Please, Lionel. I'll do anything in exchange.
Well, yes, perhaps I might. Listen, I will bargain with you.
Oh, Lionel.
A man crashed my party this afternoon. A man I should know but can't place. He's a man I feel bodes me no good. You were, or appeared to be, pretty pally with him this afternoon. Who is he?
Lionel, I don't... He's a Mr. Gray.
Well?
But I don't know him. I only met him at your party. For the first time.
You're lying.
Yes, today I met him for the first time.
Answer me. Tell me who Mr. Gray is, what he is, and everything you know about him.
The unpleasant Mr. Boyd has caught Judith Cameron in an awkward situation, and it seems certain she'll have to reveal Roland Fletcher's identity to him. How will this new development affect the plans of the Grey Goose?